This is URN Sport.
Hello and welcome to this, our World Cup special of URN Sports, Saturday Sports Show. Premier League has all finished. The FA Cup will be coming up later on today, which we will be keeping an eye on, as that's all going to be going on. So do look forward to that. We'll be bringing you some coverage with some commentary, but also just keeping a general eye on how everything's going to be going along with that. But as I said at the start, this is our World Cup special. I am joined today with a very full panel at the moment. We have Ollie, Jimmy, Alex and David, and I'm your host, Jeremy Dunn. And we have put our heads together basically for this, because we're going to be doing a full preparation, I think, for the World Cup, which will be coming up over the next 2 hours, so do look forward to that. We will start things off, I suppose, probably from an England perspective then. Let's have a look at the England squad. Obviously, most of the squads have now been announced. Some big names yet to go. I believe that Spain and Belgium are going to announce theirs on Monday, so unfortunately, we couldn't quite schedule that in to fit perfectly, but we have a rough idea pretty much looking at who's injured and who the coaches have selected in the early matches as to who is likely to play in those games. But yes, as we said, the England squad was announced, obviously, on Wednesday, so let's have a quick chat about that for a little bit. We don't want to spend too long beating a dead horse, but, okay, relatively...
beating. I don't think England will be beating very much, but...
Thank you, David.
So, joke, yeah, is there?
Let's start off then by looking at England. The squad pretty much was what a lot of people were expecting. Obviously, people being missed out. Joe Hart was one of them. A lot of people saying, good, you know, Southgate's made the big call and he's finally done it. He's dropped Joe Hart for this big tournament, instead going with Butland, Pope and Pickford. So, you know, three relatively new keepers coming into the fold for England there, so that'd be quite good and optimistic to see. The rest of it, the only other obviously notable omission which raised some voice of anger against it was probably the fact that Jack Wilshere was left out of it. But aside from that, guys, looking at who England had available, who wasn't injured, also the inclusion of Danny Welbeck was one which, you know, raised a few eyebrows, I think it's safe to say. But how are we thinking on that? Do we think that that's actually probably, all things considered, the best squad we could go for?
It's pretty much the best squad we could go for. I think people were right in comments about how the midfield is full of sideways passes and not necessarily got much creativity coming from it. But that might not be the tactics that England play. They might focus more on just getting the balls out to the wingers. We've brought a lot of pacey wingers there. Even players like Vardy can play out there, even Welbeck, those ones that can play in the middle. Welbeck's inclusion was, I think, for most of us, a bit of a surprise. He's been... I think average this season is a little bit fair to him. Yeah, a little bit kind. I personally understand why people wanted Jack Wilshere in the squad. I think it's wrong not to take him for the creativity element, but that's only if we are going to play a type of system that needs creativity. If we're going to play it more on the wings and focus on those long balls in, then yeah, Wilshere's not necessarily your best pick. Joe Hart, I think everyone agrees he needed to be dropped.
Yeah, even me and Ashley.
Well, you've seen him drop everything this season, haven't you? Yeah.
I think the most disappointing thing about the World Cup squad was the lack of a wild card.
Trent Alexander.
Well, yeah, you could argue
Ruben
Trent Alexander.
Leon Bailey was the one beforehand, because there was that whole Twitter storm, wasn't there?
I mean, I was expecting something like a Leon Bailey, maybe a Phil Foden. That's probably a bit of a far.
Maybe.
Phil Foden. Who's that
Ryan
guy at Dortmund?
Sanchez. Someone like that. Yeah. Just, you bring along to the World Cup. It's experience.
But it's not, because that's the Theo Walcott argument. And look how well that went for everyone involved.
Yes, but in contrast to that argument, you know, Bailey has been playing every game of the season at the Bundesliga and has been in their Bundesliga team of the season. He's been a quality player. So I think that Southgate was quite narrow-minded in his selection. He kind of just focused on the Premier League, which I can understand, judging from a team chemistry, judging from something which all players are familiar to. However, I think it was just of a, it was just an underwhelming squad.
But who do you want to miss out for Leon Bailey, for Jadon Sancho?
Well, I kind of see what Welbeck, Alex is saying, in the sense that I think this is probably the easiest England squad to pick for a major tournament in years. I think when you consider that selection Jack Wilshere was Southgate's biggest selection headache, you could say Joe Hart, but I think
Dana
was saying, like, Joe Hart was never going to get selected out of the recent form. There wasn't really many other players sort of justifying their inclusion. People were saying John Joe Shelby potentially for a bit more creativity in that midfield.
Same reason, again, one of Wilshere or Shelby would have been...
I don't think he's been that outstanding. I don't think we were going to do that much better with John Joe Shelby in the squad. Danny Welbeck as
That's
well. Like, I don't I don't really like Danny Welbeck, but then again, he's done well for England, and there wasn't really anyone else. The most informed English striker was Glenn Murray.
Looking at the squad, right, the player with the most goals for England in that squad is Danny Welbeck. He is an experienced player who's been to lots of previous tournaments. He'll be a sane head. That's the argument that people were making for Joe Hart to go. The difference is that Danny Welbeck fans might want him to come off the bench and play.
Danny Welbeck has scored all his goals against, like,
AC Milan.
Well,
CSKA Moscow.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, in terms of in an England show, the majority of his goals will have come against just these awful teams.
And but isn't that the same for everyone?
Yeah, Wayne Rooney's scored 52 goals for England, because I'm refusing to accept that his one is 53, because it hit the keeper. I'm not Johnny Sparkles on Twitter. But he scored 52, of which I think 13 have been penalties, and... Well, all but two have been in tournaments.
Well, I mean, this is then go back to the argument of Alan Shearer of how many of his goals were penalties.
So, exactly. So it's not an argument that's fair to make for one striker and not for all the other strikers.
True.
I'll tell you who should have been picked, and it goes back to Alex's.
I swear to God,
idea.
If you're going to say Andy Carroll.
I was going to say Andy Carroll.
For God's sake!
You look at that. We talk about Danny Welbeck.
Can we move on?
Absolutely nothing this season. He can't control a football. Andy Carroll offers something different. Of course you wouldn't start him in the game. Of course Harry Kane's going to be the first choice striker. Of course Marcus Rashford is a good player to bring off the bench. But if Vardy. Things are going wrong, if there's 10 minutes to go in a game and we're a goal down and nothing's working, you bring on Andy Carroll. It offers something different.
Kevin Nolan.
Well, I think... Obviously, me and Ollie.
Done with him.
Yeah, Ollie and
no,
I...
No, that's what they tried all night.
Ollie and I will be biased as West Ham fans, but we see it... week in, week out, that when he comes onto the pitch, the game does change. And not only that in an attacking sense, but also defensively, he is good at heading the ball out. He's good at heading the ball simple,
he's
full stop.
So we're sat here looking at that England squad saying that we're really the biggest discussion is, you know, should Welbeck have been in there? Should Wilshere have been in there? Should Carroll have
Which
been in there?
Which brings us back maybe then to Ollie's point that has this not then been probably one of the easier England squads to pick all the time?
Absolutely. But
it's just,
I mean,
he's got it right for the most part as well, doesn't
he? I wouldn't. The thing is, any of the players that are in there, are you having a gripe? And this isn't actually aimed, like, this isn't pointed, this question, but is anyone actually having a gripe at the players that are in there?
Well, it depends which way you want to look at it, because, I mean, I don't like Jordan Henderson. I think he's one of the most overrated players in football. But then again, he was always going to be selected.
Yeah,
there.
No, you are right.
I think the only one that makes my head scratch is Gary Cahill.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think the only way that works,
Phil Jones over Chris Smalling gets me as well.
I'm not sure. He does well for England, Jones.
Yeah, the only other thing I would say on Cahill is, depending if we are going to play a three at the back, he does have some experience
in that,
is the only argument I think we can give for it. But yeah, by the sounds of it, I mean, given the injuries as well we've had, it's not been.
Yeah, who would? I mean, I'm assuming it would have been Loftus-Cheek out for
Lallana,
Chamberlain, or Lallana. The ones that are just not fit and not fit entirely.
And actually,
like
throwing him in as well, Joe Gomez. I know. Liverpool bias kicking in here for me, but I mean, in all fairness, he's had a fantastic season.
He'd have only gone in lieu of Alexander-Arnold. He's not going to take two.
True, I know that, but I mean, it's more the fact that I think he would have gone because he's more versatile. He can play anywhere across the back line.
I think something with this England World Cup squad, sorry, I don't know if you'll all agree with me, but it shows just how not well we're going to do, in my opinion. I was so underwhelmed by it that it made me realise that we're nowhere near the likes of Spain.
I'm sorry,
Brazil.
Why did it take until the squad was released to make you realise that?
I had discussions with various people about how we've got a young squad, there's promise, there's excitement, but when just looking at it on paper, and you do see the likes of Gary Cahill in it, Jordan Henderson, like Ollie mentioned, it just kind of made me think that
only Milner had
the time. We're not gonna get to the
quarters. Milner would have probably gone in a similar.
He was asked.
Yeah,
but I think he's been very good.
But going back to what Alex was saying there, I agree with what he was saying. A few months ago, it did look like there was quite a lot of young up and coming talent, and that was because at the start of the season, you had the likes of John Stones who were in form. By the end of the season, he couldn't get a game at Manchester City. Dele Alli had been one of the best players in the Premier League the previous 2 years, but has struggled a bit more this season. And the most emerging, Marcus Rashford as well, has had a torrid time under Mourinho in recent months. So most emerging English player has been Raheem Sterling, who was getting endless amounts of criticism last season and the season before that. And even though he's been England's best player, he still can't finish.
But also point that out, because we've now brought back into the fold, you know, Delph and Young, who were two players that I think if we'd asked to pick this 12 months ago, we would, none of us, I mean, don't know.
I don't think
we would have probably picked them in.
Well, I think I saw something on Twitter. It was like hard work beats talent in terms of Southgate's squad. Because we look at Delph and Young obviously being included, and when you compare them to the likes of maybe Wilshere, just for example, obviously they don't play in the same position, but you would probably say that Jack Wilshere is the more talented footballer.
Or Ryan Bertrand, for example,
But Delph has worked hard and he's got himself into the Manchester City team and he's deserved his call-up.
Fair enough.
One thing I will say as well is that it's very clear which formation Southgate has in mind, in my opinion, and he's based his squad on that. A lot of people have come out and said
3-4-3.
Perhaps he didn't. I think it's 3-4-3 or 5.
Yeah, that 5-2,
whichever way you want to look at it. With the three centre-backs and the two wing-backs. And a lot of people have said potentially he didn't pick enough midfielders, maybe Wilshere should have gone anyway. But I think it's very, very clear that he's going to start with Henderson and Dyer in the centre midfield. Potentially Ali sitting in front, which I wouldn't mind. I'm not sure whether he sees Ali more as a winger or a
And then what, you sort of Sterling, Vardy, Kane up top?
Yeah, Sterling, Kane probably. And then on the wing, I think the centre-backs pretty much pick themselves. I think John Stones is a given. It's interesting to see whether he's going to play Walker at centre back or out on the right.
And about Harry Maguire?
I think Harry Maguire is going
to
start.
Harry Maguire, who is used to that three at the back as well, which
I don't have a problem with that. I think Harry Maguire is a brilliant ball player. He goes forward a bit too much and makes a couple of mistakes, but I genuinely think he's probably England's best centre back.
Harry Maguire, who spent did everyone see his Euro 2016 with his mates amongst
watching
the England fans there.
Yeah.
So
there was an unreal stat about Harry Maguire as well, in the sense that he's played 5 seasons of professional football, 3 for Sheffield United, 1 for Hull and 1 for Leicester, and he's won player of the season for his club in every single year.
Wow.
It just goes to show his consistency, how he's continuing to improve, and how highly his teammates rate him as well.
Yeah.
But all of those clubs, they at the time he was at them weren't the best club, so it's not going to be the easiest to win. You might have the one standout player that wins it, but that award is probably going to have been won because he's been the hardest working and the most consistently.
True.
Even if average, but in a season where no one's brilliant, that's fine. So that is testament, and that kind of player is, you want one of them in a squad if you're picking.
Yeah, I think that's going to be probably we're going to wrap up our England chat now. Especially for today, URM Music have produced their own playlist of all the World Cup classics and songs, and all the songs we'll be playing out today are from said playlist, so do go and check that out. It's on Spotify, so do give it a follow, and also keep up to date with URM playlist. We've got some absolute cracking playlists on there that you can listen into, whether it's during revision for the whether you're in the library revising, or whether it's before Ocean. You can give a tune in and listen to all of them. But now we're going to start off with another one, which was an interesting one I found. It's going to be I get knocked down, but I get up again. We'll be singing when we're winning. We'll be singing. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down.
Some whiskey drink, you drink some vodka drink, you drink some Hi, this is Jeff Selling from Sky Sports, and you're listening to URN Sport.
Cheers, Jeff. That's never going to get old for me, no matter how many times I've done it. Hello and welcome back to URN Sports World Cup Special. That song there you just heard, obviously, was from our World Cup playlist, so do go and give that a check and listen to. Katie Baxter, our head of playlists, has been working very hard on sourcing all these playlists out and getting them ready, and it's a great one for listening for all you sports fans out there. Now, we come to something which, in true fashion by me, I obviously came up very late, but obviously it's been sort of one which we've been planning for a fair bit. This is going to be a little something special which URN Sports are going to be doing. First off, we're going to be going through each of the groups and working out who we think is going to come first and second for each group. And then we're then going to move on to a little something which we made this morning, which is
URN Sports Tree of Victory!
Okay, complete quiet in that.
Who's done that intro?
No comment. So we're then going to move on to our tree to try and work out who's going to win the World Cup that then that we have drawn up in the studio, rather than game on a massive whiteboard, which I'm going to have to try and write on whilst the chaps are obviously debating. The way this is going to work when we get to the knockout rounds is, because there are five of us in the studio, we're going to have a vote on when we get to each game and work out who we think is going to progress and is the winner. And then we're going to get to obviously work out from that. You'll be able to see our full table as to who we think is going to go all the way and get to the final. Beforehand, though, we put our poll within URN Sports, try and work out who we thought, what the general consensus is as to who people thought was going to be the favourites, who they thought would win, and what the general look of the table is. The most popular four semi-finalists are probably my four favourites, if I'm blatantly honest. It boils down to Germany, Brazil, France and Spain as the most popular four semi-finalists, and all four of them could obviously make it into that, and all four are feasibly the strongest. Each of the guys have obviously picked their favourite team as to who they think is best. 44% voted in favour of Germany to walk away triumphant for another year to defend their title. Very interesting, but it would be Brazil was the second closest on 33%, so it looked quite often like we were going to get a Germany versus Brazil final, which I mean, that would be absolutely brilliant to see. I think a lot of people would certainly look forward to that match. Obviously, potentially a rematch for Brazil following the 7-1 defeat that they suffered. They have actually played Germany since, I should point out, in a friendly, which I believe they walked away victorious in as well in Germany. So they have started to erase the memory of 2014. I'm sure if they win in the final, that would certainly do it. Okay, guys, let's move on then to the groups and try and work out who we think are going to be walking away victorious from the each the group stage matches, which will be getting underway very soon. So, let's start off in Group A. We have the hosts, Russia, Mohamed Salah FC, also known as Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Uruguay. Four teams in there, none of them the strongest, but potentially, as we were discussing out in the studio, we might have one of our dark horses in this. It should explain, the way we define a dark horse is probably a team that's going to defy expectation or, you know, get further than I think some people would expect and end up in, you know, a match which you wouldn't quite believe them to. But yeah, guys, let's just talk through those ones very quickly. I think I know roughly where the majority of us are saying are going to come first and second, but I believe there is one potential upset in this when we boil down to it. But guys, Group A, talk us through it.
Well, we've got the opening game of the World Cup, Russia versus Saudi Arabia. The two weakest teams at the time of the draw, and the worst in terms of FIFA rankings opening game to a World Cup ever. And that includes...
Solid start, then.
That includes South Africa, who were a lot lower than Russia and Saudi Arabia.
Who they play?
Mexico.
Mexico, and that's
so decent. Shabalala with that cracking goal. So that gets us off on the 14th of June.
Are you ruling out Russia and Saudi Arabia from the offing, David?
Russia could... The thing is, the hosts always have a bit of a boost. It is a noticeable factor. I don't think it's impossible for Russia to make it through, because Egypt, as you said, are really one man strong. Their goalkeeper is 45 years old. He'll be the oldest
prime
player
of life
to ever play at a World Cup by quite some distance. But if Russia win that opening game against Saudi Arabia, which most think they will, you then left yourself in a position where if either Egypt or Uruguay lose their clash, they're playing catch-up already, and Russia know that they can draw that game against them and lose to the other one. So playing Saudi Arabia first has benefited Russia, or theoretically Saudi Arabia, if the visitors can get a win, although it's pretty much written into folklore that the hosts don't lose that opening game.
Okay, so I'm guessing then that you're going for, who are you saying, David, is going to finish first, and who do you believe will finish second?
I have gone for Uruguay to finish top of the group, which I don't think anyone has not predicted. Well,
we'll see. We'll see.
And I've gone for Russia. Second place. I think they can do it.
Big. Okay. Ollie?
I've gone for the exact same as David there. Pretty much agree with all of his reasoning. I don't think...
Carl, can we get some devil's advocates on here, please?
I don't think the home advantage always plays an advantage at the World Cup. We saw, obviously, the endless amounts of pressure that were put on Brazil when they hosted. But I think when it comes to Russia, it will play.
But only one host has not made it out of the group stage of a World Cup. And
that was South Africa, though.
Who did come third? They
beat the mutinous French squad.
What, the French team that was on strike?
They were revolting. They were revolting.
But, hey. They were nice people, I'm sure.
Obviously, a lot of people have been talking about Mo Salah, and quite rightly so. He's been one of the best players in the world, but I don't necessarily think... I think, as David touched upon, he is Egypt's only real threat. And when you look at Uruguay, they've got three or four world-class players. I'll sort of talk about it more in depth when we come and to the knockout stages, I think. But I think they're going to have too much for Egypt. And like you said, I think Russia's home advantage will count. So I've gone with Uruguay to top the group and Russia in second as well.
Two hopes the same positions. Let's go over then to you, Alex. Who are you looking at then?
I'm going for Uruguay to top the group, I think.
We've got a majority on that already, yeah, so I might mark that on in a minute, but yeah.
And then Egypt to finish second. I think Mo Salah, currently best player in the world. And I think he will carry his team. I think it will only go as far as the group. But I can see them pulling off a victory against Russia and Saudi Arabia, and I do actually think they have a good chance of winning the group itself. I think that Egypt-Uruguay match will be tighter than people may expect. Obviously, Uruguay famous for their attacking options, however, questionable midfield. I think obviously defence. They are strong. They got Godín and Jiménez both. Atletico Madrid.
Godín has been phenomenal this season. It's so one many interceptions. He will. Yeah, that'll be a tough team to score against, and you're expecting them to score enough as well.
It's just going to be if you can win the midfield, it's going to be key, really.
Yeah, but obviously.
So let's hope England.
Like we've said, Egypt are ultimately a one man team, unless you count Mohamed El Neni as being anywhere near as good as Salah.
Who's the guy that played?
I thought he got a really bad injury.
He might be out.
He's in the squad.
I think he might just recover.
They've got Higazi as well.
Yeah, Higazi.
Okay, Jim. So I'm guessing that, so from that, Alex, you're going for Uruguay's top of the group, followed then by Egypt. Yeah. Jim, over to you.
I am the same as Alex. I think Uruguay.
It's going to come to me then for the second place one.
I think Uruguay will win it quite comfortably. They're just the best side there.
Just another thing that might sway in Russia's favour for second place slightly. Coming second in that group, your knockout round is at the Luzhniki. It's in Moscow. It might just be enough to will the home crowd through there to play, and then the players to get the mindset as well in the capital, in the stadium where the final is, because Russia aren't making the final. I think that would be
a bit of a send off to them, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless they get absolutely battered by whoever we work out they would be playing.
Next group, Portugal or Spain, so probably.
Probably Spain we'd be looking at.
Who knows?
Sorry, Jim, carry on.
I think Uruguay have just got comfortably the best squad in that group, so they'll come first, unless they have a terrible tournament like they did, I think, was it 2014, where they went out to Costa Rica?
Yeah, they were in our group, weren't they?
I think Uruguay will win that, and then I've put Egypt second. I think Salah is obviously the big threat, but they've got Hassan up front, who plays in the Portuguese League, and he scored more than 40 goals for Egypt, so you know he's no mug. He's going to be dangerous as well.
Fair enough. So in that case, looking like I'm going to agree on Uruguay as well. I think we've then got 5-5 on Uruguay's top of the group. This is now going to be the part of where it would be quite funny if we had a camera in here for this, but all I'm basically going to have to now do is, the guy's probably going to be laughing, is I'm now going to have to awkwardly move my mic around to start writing this down on the table.
You could just ask us to talk while you do that.
I've got to do my pick as well, so I'm going to agree. We've got Uruguay then in that case to top the group, and I am going to side with Alex and Jim. I just think that Egypt could have one of those, those sort of mini fairy tale ones. They'll get out of the group, everyone will be excited, and that's just all they need, really. Obviously, they've got Mohamed Salah, but they've also then got with them, like we said, a couple of good players just around the squad. I know the Russian team is good and they'll be on home soil, David, but I just think that they're also aging a bit, and it's not the squad that we've seen from a few years ago.
You're right. It's not the squad we've seen from a few years ago. They've changed quite a lot since that 2008 semi-final. They've got your Golovins, Jagoev, They had to bring Ignacevic, who is one of the more experienced centre-backs, because of an injury to someone else. So they haven't announced their final squad. They've only got a preliminary squad out.
Are they announcing theirs on Monday?
I believe so.
Right.
No one has to announce it until 10 days before the World Cup.
Oh, I just realised on this board I've drawn at the opposite end, so I'm having to like awkwardly shuffle around my mic. Carry on, sorry.
Behind the magic curtain.
I just think as well, even though
the Egypt, illusion of
even though Egypt obviously qualified, and a lot of that was down to Salah, and a lot of people are saying he can potentially replicate Salah. That they qualified from one of the easiest continents, in my opinion, other than Oceania, Australasia, whatever.
So easy continents qualify from, five teams qualify from that tournament. There are more than five good teams that could be at a World Cup from that continent.
Okay,
I'm just saying, if not saying they are in Europe, obviously I'm better,
democracy
slightly
has spoken.
Better geography than that, but if they had been qualifying in from Europe or from South America potentially, I don't think they would have qualified.
Okay, well, democracy spoken, we are going to keep this going very quickly, lads, because we have taken a good 50 minutes to do one group, I've just realised. In all fairness, there was one point of contention which I thought was going to be who we thought was going to come second. Let's move on then to the next group. I think this one should be a lot quicker for us to make up our minds on. Yep, we've then got, obviously, the 2010 winners of Spain, Portugal, led by Cristiano Ronaldo, of course, Morocco and Iran are all in that group. I think I'm safe in saying that we are all probably going to be going for Spain and Portugal to make it through. The only question is which way round.
In which order?
Yeah, I have a rough idea. I can probably guess this, but let's try and do this one a little bit fast before we then go to another song. So, David, I'm guessing you're going for Spain and Portugal. You're not going to throw in a curveball of an Iran at me.
In that order as well for me. Spain top, Spain, Portugal second. Also, a little bit of a shout out to a team who I think might play better than people are going to think they are.
Morocco.
In Iran. No, I think Iran.
Oh, really?
I think Iran. They've got Azmoun up top. They've got a couple of quality defenders
gave
in there.
Argentina a good game.
Yeah, they absolutely, they did. So,
okay, well, yeah, we can. I mean, we will cover Spain and Portugal obviously in more depth as we go into the knockout rounds. Just for getting through this.
Yeah,
bit,
no, Spain 1, Portugal 2 for me.
Okay, yeah. So that's David's choice. Ollie?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with David again. I
Spain
don't often
one,
agree
Portugal
with David,
two.
But yeah, I...
honestly, that
I
is a rarity.
I have on this occasion. Obviously, a lot's going to depend on whether Diego Costa can perform better than he did 4 years ago, where he was absolutely useless. But I think
they've
in
got
qualifying,
a bit more,
especially
they've got more depth now.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
If Morata can actually score a one-on-one.
Do you think Morata will be picked? Have they taken him?
Well, actually, no, we haven't seen the squad yet.
I think Morata will be picked because they've got Rodrigo on the bench and Aspas.
Yeah, Rodrigo as well, maybe.
And Spain have been sort of hammering them in qualifying, and I think they stuck
very
six past
midfield.
Argentina in a friendly recently as well. I think they beat them 6-1. So
we'll get on Spain.
Can't see Spain winning the group.
I think it's probably
even though I think Iran are probably going to perform better than people expect. I think Portugal will do enough to get through. I don't rate their squad in the slightest, but I still think it's better than Morocco and
Fair
Iran.
Enough.
And, yeah, Ronaldo will bag a few.
Fairies. Well, probably, like I said, we'll talk more, I think, about Portugal and Spain in a bit more depth when we get round to probably the key games for them. Spain, I think we're looking at probably potentially the semi-final is going to be their key match we'll be looking at. Portugal, it literally could be the next round, looking at how we're lining things up at the moment. Alex?
Yep, I agree with the guys. I think Spain are probably one of the favourites, and I don't think Portugal will be able to get through in the same fashion they did at the Euros.
Okay, and finally then, last but not least, but before we get to me, Jim?
I think Spain to come first. Portugal, I don't think it'll be as easy as we were making out. I think Morocco could potentially cause an upset, because if we think about, like, if Portugal were to lose to Spain and then draw with Morocco, then it all comes down to who can put more past Iran. And say if Portugal win 2-0 against Iran and Morocco win 3-0, then suddenly Morocco are going to finish second in the group, potentially, if they match Portugal's result with Spain, which they're probably both going to lose. So I have put Portugal, but I don't think it's going to be comprehensive. Yeah, I think it's going to be close between them and Morocco for second spot.
I think people are overrating Morocco slightly. They qualified out of an appalling group for Africa. There was I'll double check who they had in it, but it was Morocco had Gabon, the Ivory Coast, and Mali in it, which for Africa was not a strong.
I mean, Ivory Coast is quite.
Yeah, but that's
again,
not Ivory Coast who I think have qualified for one World Cup. Ivory Coast or two. They keep struggling to make it out of those qualifying groups. So.
Yeah, okay, well, in that case, I'm just going to make it a clean sweep with the guys there. It's going to be Spain first and Portugal second. I'll fill that in on the table, and then we'll move then on to the next couple of groups, which we can probably, I hope, breeze through. But there are some tougher ones coming up. Let's now go to another song. Looking at this, we are going to go then for the song for this year's World Cup, which is going to be Colours with Jason Derulo, which we have played, obviously, earlier on this year. But we just thought, because we're going to be covering quite a few of the official songs for each one, let's start off then with the current one and probably work a bit back.
Feeling, look what we've overcome. Oh, I'm gonna wave away my flag and count all the reasons we are the champions. Now ain't no turning, turning back. Saying, oh, can't you taste the feeling? Feeling. Saying, oh, we all together say. We come now, 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 now. There's beauty in our unity we found. I'm ready, I'm ready. We still got a long way, but look how far we come now, 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 now. Hands up for your colors. Colors on my back. Celebrate. Yeah. We created equal. One race and that's human. Can't wait till they all see that. Saying, oh, can't you taste the feeling? Feeling. Saying, oh, we all together singing. Look how far we come now. Colors.
Hi, this is Matty Cash and you're listening to URN Sport.
Thank you very much, Matty. Unfortunately, you won't be going to the World Cup in the England squad, sad to say. Maybe next time, mate, or all the best for it. Let's then move on to the next couple of groups. We've already done groups A and B. We were just chatting there whilst that song was going on about the next ones. I think we can probably breeze through these a bit quicker. What we're going to do is we will go through the group stage, work out the last 16. Then some of the guys have got their individual team players that they want to point out. Certain of the guys they might think might win the Golden Ball, who might win the Golden Boot. We'll be looking at those very quickly, and then we'll work out the knockout and who we're going to say is going to be the winner. Group C and I think Group D, we are all pretty much united. I think there is a bit of discussion, but Group C, for those of you that don't know, it is Australia, Denmark, France and Peru. I mean, Ollie, let's start off with you this time. It's probably written, I think we all know who we're going to go for on this, but go on, you take us away on this.
Yeah, so I think we're all going to be in unanimous agreement that France should win that group. I don't think anyone can contend that they've probably got the best squad in the competition. There are a lot of people's favourites. People are unsure about Deschamps as a coach and how good their defence is, but I think attacking wise anyway, they've definitely got the most strength and depth. They've got Mbappe, who I think is going to set the world alight in this tournament. He already has set the world alight, but I can see him winning the Young Player of the Tournament award. Griezmann, we saw how good he is in big games in that Europa League final. And I think in terms of centre midfield, N'Golo Kante is just going to be a rock as ever, and it's going to be interesting to see how well Pogba plays. He didn't have the best 2016 tournament, and hasn't come off. If Pogba plays, indeed. But then again, even if he doesn't, they've got Matuidi, Tolisso, and Zonzi, who's actually done very well
this season
recently as well. And I think even if people don't think they might not have enough leading later into the tournament, I think they'll have more than enough to win that group and
stick
quite a few past every team.
Tournament or
second
group?
Place?
Second
place, I've gone with Denmark.
Yep.
I can't see Australia competing, and even though I think Peru as a South American team will inevitably play quite good football, I was quite impressed with Denmark in the qualifiers. I think Christian Eriksen could have a massive tournament. I'm interested to see how he plays. I hope Nicholas Bentner plays and potentially adds to his goal tally.
Fair enough.
He's got over 30 goals for Denmark now. And yeah, I can see them going.
Okay, so France first, Denmark second. Jim, what do you think the order's going to be? I think yours was a little bit different, wasn't it?
France first. It's just the obvious choice. I think Ollie's just summed up exactly why. And I think everyone expects them to top that group. Denmark, I think, potential dark horses. They've got a lot of good players. Obviously, Eriksen's the talisman. I think, they'll come second quite comfortably. I think it'll be a story of just both of them finishing on six points. Both of them beating Peru and Australia, and then it's just a matter of France versus Denmark to see who tops the group. But you've got to expect France to beat Denmark in that game. So, yeah, France first, Denmark second.
Fair enough. This is looking... I can probably guess the way this is going. Alex?
Yep, completely agree with...
that's made it nice and easy.
Yeah, I think Ollie was right in highlighting the depth, especially in the attacking areas and midfield areas that France have. I think just looking at their midfield, you've got players like Rabiot from PSG. He's missing out on the squad. So you've got some really class players who would make pretty much every other team missing out. Similarly, like Payet, obviously he's not in the squad, potentially
injury.
Due to his injury.
Yeah.
But they've just managed to fill that slot with probably Florian Thauvin.
Who's
been class this season.
And you're going forward, sorry, Denmark second as well.
Denmark second.
Fair enough. David?
I mean, we say that about being able to replace Payet, but he was the man of the tournament at Euro 2016,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was phenomenal
for
France.
Say, yeah.
Your
did
choice
he
is
to play for your club.
Your choices, David.
France, Denmark for one and two. Peru losing their captain and centre forward is huge for them. Paulo Guerrero being done for allegedly taking
some
form
of substance. We can't remember. So we'll say it's some form of substance abuse.
And it was the weirdest thing because I remember back in October there being the hashtag justice for Guerrero, and then his punishment got reduced from 12 months to 3 months, and now it's gone back up
to 14. It's actually been extended because the doping commission.
I don't really know exactly what on earth the courts are deciding and how they've managed to differ on that much, but he's missed in the World Cup unless it changes again.
You never know, but I think probably at the moment we're looking like he's missing it. I'm going to round that out then by making it two groups on the balance where we've all agreed on the same order pretty much as to where things are going to go. So that's going to be Denmark to come second and France to top the group. Moving on to the next one, Group D, Argentina, Croatia, Iceland and Nigeria. Again, I think we are all pretty much in agreement as to as to who we think are going to go through. There might be some differences in the order, we don't know. Alex, why don't you lead us off on this group? So, like I said, Argentina, Croatia, Iceland and Nigeria.
I think Argentina will win the group. And I think Croatia will come second. I think that will be a very, very good match. I think one of the best in the group stage. I think when you look at Argentina, you got names such as Messi, obviously Aguero, who we've seen in the Premier League just been unbelievable for the past few seasons. Then also other players in foreign leagues, Dybala, that you can cite, Higuain, who's one of the best strikers in the world. So I think that the individuals they have is arguably the best out of any team in the World Cup. However, there is an argument that they're lacking depth in areas. I think I could cite
the defence,
precisely. I think when you're looking at potentially Mascherano still starting for Argentina, despite him playing in China at the age of 34, that spells out troubles. And I think Croatia, I've said it from the start, and I'll
your dark horse, aren't they?
Say it again, my dark horses. Their midfield and attack will score goals against anyone in this World Cup, I think. I mean, when you look at those three midfielders of Modric, Rakitic and Kovacic, all Champions League winners, and then you know, a front three of Pjaka, who's Champions League finalist with Juventus, similarly with Mandzukic, and also Perisic, who's been fantastic for Inter Milan. Those six players, there's goals from any one of those six. So I think that they are a dangerous force to be reckoned with. So I think that Group D is harder to call than people may expect.
Fair enough. I thought there was a reason I wanted to lead you off on that, because obviously Croatia, like you said, a team which you have pointers out to keep a close eye on. David?
I mean, there are questions as to whether Nigeria will come second over Croatia. I don't think anyone's really predicting Iceland to be able to pull off any form whatsoever. Argentina, and I am going to put Croatia in second, but
close.
You know, close seconds, given that there's going to be Jesus and Pope at the World Cup, Moses could lead his team out of that group.
And
religious puns aside.
Fletcher Iheanacho.
I was going more for the religious pun there.
Fair, all right. I was going more than the lines of actually thinking players-wise.
No, I think Croatia v Nigeria is one of those really interesting. It's the first match day in that Group D on the 16th. I think whoever wins that is... Well, naturally, you're in pole position when there's only three teams in the group, but I would imagine Croatia will start the stronger, but... Nigeria coming second in that group would not be a massive surprise. Let's put it that way. They're very good. I think Croatia should get it, but if Nigeria get it, no surprise.
Okay, then Jim, quickly over to you then. Which order are you going for, and who are you saying is going through?
I've actually just changed my mind.
Right.
I was going to put Argentina top, but I think I'm actually going to put Croatia top of the group.
Ooh, that's what I'd like to hear.
I think, yeah, you were saying, Alex, about the strength of Croatia's midfield and attack especially there, because that's where they are strongest. And when that comes up against Argentina's defence, I think they'll struggle. And I think we could see Croatia potentially edge what will be.
But what about when
match.
Argentina's attack comes up against Dejan Lovren?
We talk about that. We've got obviously Messi.
Leave him out of it.
Messi and Aguero are very good. Higuain scores a lot of goals for Argentina, but seems to bottle a lot of chances as
and
well.
And big games.
Dybala is very good, but he hasn't actually scored a goal for Argentina yet.
Icardi?
Argentina. he hasn't scored a single goal. Icardi also hasn't scored a goal for Argentina. So they've got so good players in attack. Like, they're obviously one of the best attacking teams at the tournament. And Di Maria as well, I think, will do very well. But I can just see Croatia edging that match between them, and I think they'll win the other two games. So I'm going to put Croatia first and Argentina second.
Okay.
Why do I keep saying Argentina? Argentina second.
Okay, and then Ollie, to round us out on this just quickly.
Yeah, so I've gone with an Argentina, Croatia 1-2 situation,
so that's
as well.
That's the majority,
but
then.
I'm actually going to disagree with David for seemingly the first time on this show, in the sense that I think Croatia are going to be a lot closer to Argentina than they are to Nigeria. I really think you're overestimating how good Nigeria are. They're captained by John Obi Mikel, and if you compare their midfield to Croatia's, which Alex has already highlighted, I think is one of the best in the competition, consisting of multiple Champions League winners, Luka Modric, who is still arguably one of the best centre midfielders in the world, and then Kovacic and Rakitic as well. I think they could give Argentina a run for their money as well. The way I sort of envisage the group going is both Argentina and Croatia to win. That I don't know when they play each other, actually.
They play each other on the second match day.
But I expect them to win their other two games, and then that game to decide the group. I can see that being a draw, but Argentina ultimately taking the top spot based on superior goal difference. I can see Messi banging in a few goals against Iceland, perhaps.
Fair enough. He does enjoy the group stage of the tournament.
I think a common theme with this group in a whole is a very good attacking sides, defensively very shaky.
Suspect. So Iceland may be to come out of nowhere.
Well,
I mean, all this could be for naught. We could get this completely wrong, but I'm gonna.
We will get this completely wrong.
Inevitably, we've all then, I think, said that Argentina and Croatia will go through. It's just a bit of who will come through on top. I'm going to say it's going to be Argentina with Croatia second, but I think that group is going to be tight and one certainly to keep an eye on. We'll move into Group E and Group F quickly. Group E, I think we're pretty much certain, although there was a bit of discussion off air. Brazil, Costa Rica, Serbia and Switzerland. I'm just going to gauge this now quickly so I think we can work out the second place team, but are we all in agreement that Brazil are going to go through the top of that group?
Yeah.
Good, right, that's one. We can come to a bit more discussion of Brazil in a bit, but guys, let's work through then who we think is going to come second. I think most of us are siding on one team, which I think, David, if you just very quickly sums up on who that team is, which is going to be...
I think it's going to be Serbia.
There we go. Yeah, I'm in agreement with you on this, but I'll let you quickly do that whilst I fill in Brazil.
I just think the thing with Serbia is it's one of those really unknown, unaccountable things at a World Cup, that this team that is full of players that we do know, from Mitrovic... down through, they've got
Milinkovic-Savic.
Well, Milinkovic-Savic at Lazio, soon to be of name club here. Where I mean, honestly, the amount of clubs I've seen linked to him, it's so Serbia. I think people, and they're not the strongest team in that group, or they're not even the strongest, out of the non-Brazil teams in that group. But they've got the unpredictability factor on their side, and they've got the fact that teams are going to probably underrate them. They are my dark horses for the tournament in that I think they'll make it out the group when people wouldn't expect them to. Also, have a slight soft spot for them, having been at their opening qualifier game against Ireland. They were the fourth ranked team in that qualifying group that contained the Republic of Ireland, Wales and Austria. Mm. And they made it out with one defeat, which was to Austria on the penultimate day.
Fair enough.
Were very strong in that group, and I think they'll carry it on.
Fair enough. Well, congratulations to them. Jim, I think you had a different opinion to myself and David on this.
I did, yeah. I think Switzerland will come second in the group. I think they usually seem to get out of the group at World Cups. They've obviously got Jordan Shaqiri, who definitely seems to turn up. He turned up at the Euros, obviously, and he turned up, I think, at the World Cup as well. I can't remember which one it was where he scored that incredible overhead kick. I think it's probably the Euros. But yeah, I think he's a very good player. They've got a lot of good young players and a lot of experience in there as well. The likes of Brile Mbolo is a good young striker. And they've got Lichtstein at the back as well, obviously plays for Juventus, got a lot of experience there. So I think I think I'd back them ahead of Serbia to get through, but it'll certainly be close between them.
Okay, Ollie, let's just quickly go over to you for your one.
I've actually gone with the other team in the group. I've gone with Costa Rica.
Blimey, we've gone for all three.
Yeah, I mean, I did like Switzerland. 4 years ago, Switzerland were actually my dark horses to do well, and that almost paid off because I think they took Argentina to extra time in the second round.
They did well, I remember.
That was back in the glory days of Jordan Shaqiri, shall we say, before his pre-Stoke days. And they also had, I think they've still got actually Ricardo Rodriguez at left back.
Hasn't been great this season, though.
He hasn't been great this season, but was class a few years back and renowned for his free kicks. And I can see where David's coming from with Serbia. I wouldn't be surprised to see them go through, but I've gone with Costa Rica just based on how they did 4 years ago, I think. I've already talked about it with Peru as well. South American teams just seemingly play great football, and even though their squad on paper isn't the best, I could see them potentially getting the better of the other two teams, so I've gone with Costa Rica.
Fair enough. Alex, very quickly, you've then got a very critical vote here for who you think's going to go through.
Well, I'm agreeing with Dave here, and I'm going with Serbia to finish second. I think that they're the kind of squad, the squad being released tomorrow, that you'll look at players and be like, oh, I didn't know he was Serbian. I mean, for example, Nemanja Matic, he's been one of the players of the season for Manchester United, and even arguably in the Premier League. So you get a few players like that who you kind of forget who they play for, then you see them in the squad and you're saying, and you just think, oh, okay, they've actually got a decent starting 11. Maybe they don't have the depth that your exceptional team, your exceptional squads will have, but they do have a decent starting 11. So I think they'll beat Costa Rica, beat Switzerland, but obviously lose to Brazil.
Fair enough, I'm in agreement there as well. So we've got Serbia then going through in second with Brazil topping it. Group F, guys, again, very quickly, because I'm pretty sure we'll be going for a song very soon. I've lined up a personal favourite of mine for the next one. Group F, Germany, South Korea, Mexico and Sweden. Again, same as last time, are we all in agreement that Germany will go through winners?
Yep.
Good, right, that's one more ticked off the list then. I think the majority of us are also in favour of Mexico here for going through, but I can see Jim again going for the controversial pick in the corner. Go on,
Jim. Such a hipster.
I love going for the controversial. In fact, I don't even think it's controversial, though. I know you've all gone for Mexico, but I think Sweden are actually a very good team. Obviously, they beat Italy to get here. They were in a very tough group, including France and Netherlands, and they did actually beat France when they played them in Sweden. So I think they've got a very good squad, and even though Ibrahimovic obviously isn't going. They've got, I think, arguably a new talisman in Emil Forsberg in midfield, who's very good. And honestly, I don't think Mexico have got really any standout players who...
Irving Lozano?
Maybe he's young, though, isn't he?
They've got a few. It's the thing. I mean, I agree with you, Jim. I think that they are a team probably that people shouldn't write off, but... I think there's a reason most of us here are siding with Mexico.
And we've all written off South Korea as well, who are one of those teams that do well at World Cups. They get
it's a,
out.
It's a tough group, let's be fair.
I think it's a tough group for second place.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, Germany will find that a comfortable, very comfortable top of the group. But I think with Mexico, that they also similarly do quite well at World Cups. And I think the experience is there. Just looking at their squad, they have four players with over 100 caps. Obviously they've got a 28 man preliminary squad, but I mean, Javier Hernandez, who hasn't lit the world alight in the Premier League, certainly has on the international stage. He's got 49 goals in 100 games, and I think that for any international player is a very, very good stat to have. So I think that Mexico will do well. I think they will get out the group, not with ease, but with a bit of room to spare.
Mexico will be thankful that they're playing Germany on the opening
Get that game out of the way.
Get it out of the way.
Yeah. Focus on the rest.
Yeah. Even if they can nick a draw out of that.
That would be brilliant for them if they can get a draw on that opening one. Ollie, so I think you've got something to say.
Just going to say that what it ultimately comes down to, I think, is any of those three teams can get out of the group. Each of them have their standout individuals.
Son for Korea.
Son for Korea, Ibrahimovic, and I'll probably say Lazar.
Yeah, I'd be very
I think you meant Forsberg.
Sorry, apologies.
It's all right.
I don't know why I was thinking that. And then Lozano, I'd say, from Mexico as well. Yeah, I think he's been standout for PSV. But I think Alex already touched upon it. I think Mexico have the perfect mix of that experience combined with a couple of these standout individuals, and that's why I think they'll ultimately have too much for the other two teams.
Fair enough. So there we go. We've gone for Germany to finish top, and despite Jim's case for Sweden there, we have gone for the majority here of Mexico just to make it through there. We've got two groups come up in a second, which we're doing. One is much harder, we think, to determine than the other, but the placement for that other one could be interesting. Right now, we're going to go back to the last World Cup. This is 2014's official song. It is We Are One. Put your flags up in the sky,
feel. It's your world, my world, our world today, and we invite the whole world to play. It's your world, my world, our world today, and we invite the whole world to play. En mi mundo, tu mundo, el mundo de nosotros, invitamos a todo el mundo a jugar con nosotros. We'll be right back.
posso. Quando eu chamo o mundo inteiro pra jogar é pra mostrar que eu posso. Torcer, chorar, sorrir, gritar. Não importa o resultado, vamos pra nação.
Hello and welcome back then to URN Sports World Cup Special. We've been bringing you our predictions ahead of where we think the order is going to be for this World Cup. We've already gone through all of the groups from A to F. Now moving on to England's group, Group G. Pretty much we were in agreement that it's going to boil down to, hopefully, England and Belgium will be the two teams that make it out of that group. We don't think that Panama will quite cause the upset that one of our voters did predict them to go all the way and win it in complete glory. Not entirely sure how realistic that is. We also don't particularly rate Tunisia's chances. I think it's safe to say. We have also got the some FA Cup highlights, which we'll be keeping an eye on whilst that's been going on throughout, so we can bring you a bit of update as to what will be going on with that. Okay, guys, crunch time. Which way do we think that group's going to go? Is it going to be? Are England going to top the group? Are we going with blind optimism, or is the pessimism that I think is dividing the room here? Because there is a bit of division on this one, and actually for the next group as well, as which order we think things are going to finish. So, Ollie, I'll start off with you for this. England or Belgium to finish top of the group? We are basically, I think, all in agreement they're going to get through.
Well, obviously, you never know with England. Anything could happen. We could end up losing every game and coming bottom of the group like we did 4 years ago. But either way, or an idea of how I think this tournament's sort of going to go, and I think it's going to be fairly similar to Euro 2012, where we had France in our group and we managed to top the group with a draw in our we drew with them in our first game but managed to top the group based on goal difference. I think that's how it went, and I feel like this could be a similar story. I think I can't see us beating Belgium necessarily, but the fact that we're playing them in our last game, hopefully we'll already have 6 points by them, and hopefully our goal difference will be fairly favourable, and sort of it's kind of impossible to predict, but yeah, I'm going to go with blind optimism. I'm going to be optimistic and I'm going to say England are going to top the group.
Fair enough. Let's
not
go
really any logic to it whatsoever, but
David, I think you've got a counter argument. I think you're on my side here of being a pessimist.
It's not so much being a pessimist, it's that realistically coming top or second in England's group, because of the teams in the group next to them, we said this when we did the live draw back in December, because of the teams next to them in the group, England don't have as much pressure going into that final group game, assuming they hit 6 points, which is never an assumption you can make for England. But assuming they beat, who we got, Tunisia in the opening game and then Panama in the second game, we'll go into that game in Kaliningrad against Belgium thinking we could play any of those teams in the next group, because any of them, we're sat here now, any of them could qualify from that group. None of them are really stronger than another one. It is, I think, if memory serves, I think 538, the website 538 ranked it as the closest group in World Cup history in terms of rankings, since they had draws and such, so not the early ones where it was only, you know, invited teams. It's a very close group there. I don't think England will mind. I just don't think we're better than Belgium. Belgium are more likely to put four past Panama, put, you know, four past Tunisia than we are. I don't see us. I see us winning the games. I just don't see us scoring more goals than Belgium.
Well, we'll come into probably a bit more depth, I think, on Belgium and England when we get round to their knockout stage. So I think, like we're saying, we're all pretty much certain they're going through. But Jim and Alex, just between you guys now, England or Belgium? I want to hear your thoughts on it.
I think England will top the group. I think we'll beat Tunisia and Panama quite comfortably, and I think Belgium will beat them both as well. But I think we'll beat Belgium. I think they've got one of the best squads in the tournament, but the problem is that they never really perform, and I don't think they've got the best manager in Martinez.
Sorry. Belgium never really perform, or England never really perform? Because that's criticism that's pot calling the kettle black, isn't it?
Obviously both, but I think Belgium underachieve more when you consider the players that they've got.
Interesting.
And I think we'll have a bit of an advantage in the fact that it seems like 90% of the Belgium team play in the Premier League.
True.
So, you know.
So why is that an advantage?
I think what Jim means there, unlike in years gone by where we've always had that matchup where we said that the English team is solely in the Premier League, they haven't got that much experience. The Belgian team is very heavily concentrated in the Premier League, it has to be said. Okay, that's interesting. Alex, you've now got the deciding vote here between England and Belgium, so I'm throwing this over to you for it.
Well, I think it almost doesn't matter in a sense that either way we're drawing a very similar team in the next round.
Yeah.
Probably Colombia and Poland, I'm sure we'll get onto that. But either of them are still a decent side, one who will trouble both Belgium and England, but one I think we'll all agree on. Both Belgium and England will probably progress through. But I also have England top
there
of the
go.
Group. I think Dave said in the break that us youngsters have more optimism than
the grumpy veterans, old men
who are probably only a couple years older than us. But having said that,
I feel old now.
Damn it!
I think that. But going into that final England versus Belgium game, I think England almost have more to lose than Belgium, in a sense that England fans put a lot of pressure on England performing against any team, whereas I think Belgium, we've seen their kind of. Well, they're bottle drops, really. I mean, flashing back to the Euros, they lost to Wales.
I was going to say, I remember.
Sorry, what? How are we looking at past form, especially at the Euros, and saying Belgium are bottle jobs?
I think we more mean, David, that.
This is
they're
it.
Like
any yeah, criticism we can yeah. make of yeah. Belgium is more than doubly applicable
true,
to England.
But I think one thing which we need to look at as well, A. I mean, it could be completely different this time. We don't know. It could be the same old with England.
You say that every time.
I know, you know that. But what I mean is 06, I'm pointing out as an example here, was, you know, probably the 02 to 06. We look at, you know, those two tournaments. We had the golden generation, quote unquote, of so many great English players, and they couldn't play well together. Maybe this is the same thing with Belgium's golden generation.
06 was the last time that England won a knockout stage yeah. game.
Which is appalling to think of.
I think what it narrows down to is logic has to go out the window when we're talking about England. Everyone can predict what they want depending on how good our squad is, the quality of opposition. But what it comes down to is how well is that team going to gel and how well are they going to perform on the day? So I think basically you've got three of us who are perhaps
yeah,
foolishly
majority,
optimistic
no, I,
two of you are pessimistic.
I'm
so
going
you, with
majority.
Go with
I've written it down, Ollie. I have written it down. England are going to
win the World Cup.
Steady on, mate. England are going to finish top of our group. And then on the other side of the table, that means that Belgium will be coming second. Right, tough group here that we've got at this moment. Because this is one where, like we said, it's very tight. It could go either way. But again, there are probably two standout teams. Although I know Jim wants to make a special shout, I think, for Senegal. Because I think you did say that you thought they could cause a bit of an upset. But we're looking mainly at between Poland and Colombia. I don't think we're really giving Japan that much of a shout. I think their sort of plethora of good players they've had have now aged a bit too much and are probably out the window. But okay, we'll work upwards then, potentially with the third place, most likely third place of these ones, Senegal, Jim.
I think Senegal have got a strong team, and it's most likely going to be led by Mane, of course, and Moussa Sow as well is a player who scored a lot of goals for Senegal. They both had good seasons as well, even bringing in the likes of Mbaye Niang or Mamadou Diouf.
Idrissa Gueye as well.
Yeah, Idrissa Gueye in midfield with the likes of Alfred Ndiaye, who had a very good season at yeah. Wolves, or even Kouyaté. For West Ham, they've got a very solid midfield. It seems like they're going to be quite defensive in the way that they'll set up, but they've got so much pace going forward that they can certainly be dangerous. And as well, we look at Koulibaly, who's one of the highest rated centre backs in the world, obviously playing for Napoli, who've again had a very good season. I think Senegal have got a very strong team, and they could certainly upset the apple cart.
Do you think they'll come second?
Potentially. It depends. I think Colombia would be just a little bit stronger than them.
So are you predicting Poland then to top that group?
I think Poland will top the group and then Colombia, but it'll be close.
A close
between
one thing.
Colombia and Senegal will be close, and then Japan I think will be significantly
behind
the top three.
Fair enough. Alex, I think you've got a different one for who you're picking top, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going with Colombia topping the group, Poland coming second, but having said that, I think you can switch them around quite easily. I think they're both very similar in their quality. I think the difference with Colombia, when flashing back 4 years ago, is Radamel Falcao becoming the player who we've seen probably 10 years ago. I remember him being one of the star strikers in the world, and he really is regaining that form. I think he'll have a big role for Colombia in this World Cup as their captain as well. He's a prolific goal scorer, and I think that he will, you know, really, really be a shining light for Colombia. And I know Ollie is desperate to get a word in James Rodriguez as well.
Here we go.
Oh yeah, no, I was actually just going to agree with you about Falcao as well. I think he's become sort of a forgotten figure in football in recent seasons, ever since his failed stint in the Premier League with both Manchester United and Chelsea. But if you look at his statistics in if you look at his statistics in Ligue 1 this season, he's got 18 goals and 25 starts. He got three goals and four starts in the Champions League. And you have to say that is prolific, and that combined with James Rodriguez, who I've always been a massive fan of, who's also had an incredible season after struggling a bit at Real Madrid after he came with such a hefty price tag. I think that puts them in good stead going into the tournament. You've also got Cuadrado still, another player who failed in the Premier League but is still a quality player in his own right, and I think he's proved that at times for Juventus this season. So I think they're definitely going to have enough to get the better of the other teams in the group. In terms of who comes second though, that's where I really struggle. That was probably the hardest decision for me out of all the groups between Poland and Senegal. Both teams obviously have outstanding individuals. Senegal with Sadio Mane, Poland obviously with Lewandowski. But I think Poland, based off their experience and just because I'm such a big fan of Lewandowski in general, I think I've gone with them to finish second.
Yeah, can't add too much more there. Poland top, Colombia second for me.
Fair enough, and I'm also going to Poland top and Colombia second. So there we go. We have predicted then all the group stage. That's the group stage done. We're now going to go into the knockout rounds. We've finished drawing up the tree. That's all right. We'll go through those matches hopefully very quickly because we have only got 45 minutes left, less than 45 minutes left of this. But we are going to go to another song from our World Cup playlist, and it is a cracker. In fact, a lot of people probably say it is the best World Cup song. Some are shaking your heads, but I think we are agree. This is Shakira with Waka Waka.
Choosing your battle, pick yourself up and dust yourself off and back in the saddle. You're on the front fire, everyone's watching. You know it's serious, we're getting closer, this isn't over. The pressure's on, you feel it, but you got it all, believe it. When you fold it up, oh, oh, and if you fold it up, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sangalewa, cause this is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. This time for Africa. Listen to your life, this is our motto. Your time to shine, don't wait in line. It's almost for todo. People are raising their expectations. Don't wanna feed them, this is your moment, no hesitation. Today's your day, feel it. You pave the way, believe it. If you get down, get up, oh, oh. When you get down, get up, hey, hey. Tamina, mina, sangalewa. This land for Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, hey, hey. Waka, waka, eh, hey, hey. Tamina, mina, sangalewa. Anawa, ah, ah. Tamina, mina, eh, hey, hey. Waka, waka, eh, hey, hey. It's time for Africa. I'm here on a journey, biggie, biggie, mama. One, eight, two, set. My sister's on a journey, biggie, biggie, mama. From east to west. My tea, waka, waka, my egg, egg. Waka, waka, my egg, egg. Tongue is in, so my zimu, yeah. But this is Africa. It's time for Africa. Jungle.